We're glad to bring you this message from Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns. We trust that you'll be blessed as you apply these timeless truths to your daily life.
The Bible says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." This paradox, of course, is the opposite of what our world would teach. This paradox is opposite of what the philosophy of the world would be. And really, the paradox is that death is the way to life. And it's speaking here, of course, of the Lord Jesus and how through his death would come eternal life.
It's always such a wonderful blessing to be able to study the Word of God. Pastor Burns, I heard that you're going to begin a brand new message this morning. We're so excited. I know for me personally, God always has something for me both to learn and to help me to grow. And that's why it's so important that we study and read His Word. Pastor Burns, you have our full attention. Let's learn this morning's timeless truth.
That the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. I want us to notice the expression tonight in verse number 33. The Bible says, what death he should die. What death he should die. Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we look at your word tonight. I pray that you would give us understanding and truth and help us, Lord, to follow you. Lord, I pray that you would take from our minds the distractions and the burdens that we have, and Lord, that our focus would be on you and you alone. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would work in our lives to draw us closer to your Son. And may you be glorified and may your word be glorified in us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 12, Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 13, they took branches of palm trees and they went forth to meet him and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. It's interesting how people are so fickle. One minute they're crying, oh, crown him, crown him. In another moment they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. John tells us that this is indeed a prophecy in verse 15. In verse 20, it speaks of the Greeks that came to worship at the feast. After all of the excitement of Lazarus being raised from the dead, they wanted to see this Jesus. They wanted to see the one that could raise the dead, that could heal blinded eyes, that could make the deaf to hear. They wanted to meet Jesus. They were excited to meet the Lord. The Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus had a message for them. And he begins to talk about his death, and he begins to talk about his work in their life. I want us to notice some things in this passage of Scripture as we prepare tonight for the Lord's table. I want us to, first of all, notice the seekers in verse number 20 and 21. The Bible says in verse 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" Now, it was no unusual thing to find a Greek who had passed through philosophy after philosophy and religion after religion and gone from teacher to teacher in search for truth. In fact, it was said that the Greek had a seeking mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom." And so it was normal to find a seeker, a Gentile seeker looking for truth. And yet I believe in this passage of Scripture that these Gentiles really were representatives of the Gentile world beyond Palestine. They were Greek-speaking Gentiles, not just Greek-speaking Jews. And these Gentiles would occasionally go to Jerusalem on festive occasions. They were allowed to go into the court of the Gentiles in the temple. And obviously, they were impressed by the passion that was taking place in Jerusalem, the working of miracles of the Lord Jesus. And so the Bible says in verse 20 of our text here that they would come up to worship at the feast. We see right away in this passage of Scripture in verse 21, we find a spontaneous request. The Bible says in verse number 21, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" Now, the Lord's life on earth, it's interesting, the Lord's life on earth really began with a visit of Gentiles from the East. And as we see the Lord's life drawing to a close here, we find that there's a visit here of Gentiles from the West. And they approach Philip, a Jew with a Gentile name, and the Bible says they desire to see the Lord Jesus. Now, maybe they came to Philip because he spoke Greek or whatever the case is. Philip referred the question to Andrew. And the Bible says in verse 22 that both of them went to the Lord Jesus with this spontaneous request. Now, we notice in verse 22 and verse 23, not only a spontaneous request, but we notice a specific reply. The Bible says in verse 22, "Philip cometh and tell Andrew," and again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" Now, that's an interesting response to someone wanting to meet you. In fact, as far as we know from the Bible, the request from the Greeks was never granted. And some Bible scholars have various reasons for this. The background of chapter 12, and you can go through and read this, the background is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And some have suggested that the Greeks did not need to see Jesus because they could see Lazarus. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he put the Christian life this way. He says, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And the unsaved world today cannot see Jesus, but they can see Jesus in the life of the Christian. And some have suggested that the Lord Jesus did not go and see these Greeks because they could see his work in the lives of his people. But not only do we find a specific reply, I want us to see in this reply, first of all, the Lord glorifying. The Bible says in verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" Now, I believe that as Jesus heard of these Gentiles, the Lord Jesus saw the very first vast flock of other sheep. When I talk about other sheep, I'm talking about those who are not a part of the Jewish fold. In fact, if we could go to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John and notice what the Bible says here, John chapter 10, and notice what the scripture says in verse number 16, John chapter 10 and verse number 16, the Bible says this, verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He's speaking here of the Gentiles. The fold is the Jews, and he's speaking of other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, these Greeks were really the forerunners of an enormous multitude that no one could number.
Hey, this is Josh. We'll get back to the message this morning in just a moment. We wanted to invite you in joining us in this ministry of proclaiming the gospel message to our region. Please pray for us as we endeavor to share God's timeless truths, but also your financial investment is appreciated. You can send a financial gift by mail to 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Or you can e-transfer to send your gift by using the email give@kitchenerbaptist.org. Your financial gift would be a great blessing and encouragement to us, and it will help us stay on air and share God's timeless truths to our community. We would love to pray for you. If you have a prayer request, head on over to timelesstruthsradio.com and send us your prayer request today. We believe that God hears and answers our prayers, and we are excited to add your requests to our prayer list. If you have any questions about this morning's message, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you, even if it's just a word of encouragement. You'll find our contact information at timelesstruthsradio.com. We are here to help you in any way that we can, so please do not hesitate to send us an email or give us a call. Okay, now that we've taken care of these items, let's get back to this morning's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jerry Burns.
We're talking about called out from Gentile lands, ransomed and restored, their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, their voices raised in praise to the Lord. These are the other sheep that Jesus is talking about. And by the way, we are here worshiping the Lord today in Canada because of other sheep. Because of the Lord, we are gathered together in that one fold and we have one shepherd. But not only does Jesus speak here of him being glorified, we also see in verse 24, the Lord crucifying. Look what the scripture says in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, I'm not much of a gardener. I never have been. I've tried and failed many times, but all gardeners and farmers are founded upon this simple principle that a seed has to be sown into the ground, and its germ of life can reproduce only when the seed is sown and dies. And Jesus here is representing, he's speaking here of his own life. He's talking in this passage of scripture of the cross, that he would die on the cross, and through his death, many would come to be would come to him. Many would be saved. And so he speaks here of the Lord glorified and the Lord crucified. But notice in verse 24, the Lord multiplied. The Bible says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You see, the visit of these Greeks enabled the Lord to see an abundant harvest. It allowed him to see God's work through the church. And perhaps this is so significant because when we move from the Gospel of John into the book of Acts, we find the church's first major missionary enterprise really began in Antioch, and it was among the Greeks of the city. And then we notice the Apostle Paul's journey and his work and among the Greek cities and the Roman Empire. And Jesus saw all of this, other sheep and his work and really the ministry throughout the church. We find in this passage the Lord multiplied and glorified and crucified. It was the very work of Jesus. In verse 25, we find a paradox. The Bible says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. This paradox, of course, is the opposite of what our world would teach. This paradox is opposite of what the philosophy of the world would be. And really, the paradox is that death is the way to life. And it's speaking here, of course, of the Lord Jesus and how through his death would come eternal life. Through his death, many would come to know him as Savior. And so we see not only a paradox, but we see a principle. Verse 26, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. A person in life must determine what world they're going to live for. And this is what Jesus is talking about, a life for Christ or a life for self. Are you going to choose the cross or are you going to choose your own pathway in life? And I believe today that eternity will be rich with those who serve the Lord Jesus and give to them their life. One preacher said it this way, it is possible to have a saved soul in a lost life. Millions have been saved but have never served. And at the judgment seat of Christ, those who have served will be honored. And this is what Jesus is talking about, that through his death and through the cross, we would be a part of the family of God and we would serve through Christ, through his church in this day. I see, first of all, the seekers. But would you write this down tonight? The Savior, the Savior. You know, I hope in verses 27 and 29 to 29, I hope you understand the tenderness of this passage of Scripture. As Jesus is speaking, he's focusing on his death. And notice what he says in verse 27. He says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. All of this stemmed from some Greek seekers. And we really find the mind of the Savior now heads toward Golgotha. His direction of his thoughts head toward Calvary. The cross would be no easy road for the Lord Jesus. The cross was near. And this troubled our Savior. You know, we find the humanity of Jesus in this passage of Scripture. You see, Jesus is all God, 100% God, 100% man. And as a man, he was troubled. At the age of 33, his life would be taken away. As a man, he was troubled by the thought of Calvary. As God, he was troubled at the fact that the sins of the entire world would be placed upon the perfect Lamb of God. The Bible says he's troubled. The hour of death is near. He identified with the race he had come to redeem. He had come closer when he descended from the mount after meeting Moses and Elijah to talk of his death. He had come closer when he had performed those miracles in Jerusalem on the Sabbath. He had come closer when he had declared himself to be God. He had come closer when he had ridden into Jerusalem in triumph to proclaim himself the Messiah, in spite of the opposition of the Sanhedrin. And right away in the Lord's Prayer, we see here his desire in verse 28. Look what the Bible says as the Lord Jesus bursts into prayer. Verse 28 is his Father, glorify thy name. Oh, God, help us today to have the same desire as the Lord, our Savior, that our life would be lived to glorify our Heavenly Father. Paul the Apostle said, my prayer is this to the church at Philippi. He said, whether my life or by my death, Christ would be magnified. His desire, his heart was to glorify the name of a Savior. And here the Lord Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, the Bible says this, John chapter 5 and verse 30, the scripture says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Jesus said, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. We find the Lord's desire in verse 28. But notice the Lord's declaration in verses 29 to verse 30. The Bible says, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but because of your sakes. Verse 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Of course, when Jesus is talking about the prince of this world, he's talking about Lucifer. He's talking about Satan, the prince of devils, of demons, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. The prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. As the prince of this world, Satan exercised that power over the world which God originally entrusted to Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, that authority was lost. In the fall, that influence was surrendered to Satan. And Satan, when he tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, he offered the kingdom of this world as a bribe to entice Jesus to worship him. We learn from the book of Daniel that Satan sets his own princes over the nations of the unseen world, and these princes are fallen angels with great power. And Paul tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these unseen beings when we pray. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, the apostle Paul said that in Jesus we triumph over these demons and devils through the cross. And here the Lord Jesus proclaims that the world's judgment day has come. He has presented himself as the Lamb of God. He has presented himself as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The unstable crowd had been surely excited, but the rulers had remained opposed to him as the Savior. In the Bible, we discern a wonderful pattern. We don't have time to go through this, but you can study it for yourself. As we read through the Word of God, we see that the Spirit of God is opposed by the flesh. The Father, Heavenly Father, is opposed by the world. And the Lord Jesus is opposed by the devil himself. And here the devil worked overtime to stir up the Sanhedrin, to have Jesus crucified, to have him done away with. And yet Satan had made a grave mistake. The very cross of Christ was God's instrument of redemption for humanity. By prompting the Jews to pass sentence on Christ, he set in motion the flow of events that would guarantee the devil's destruction. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says it this way. For he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Jesus came. For what purpose? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. We notice the seekers. We notice the Savior. But I want us to notice lastly tonight the salvation. The salvation. In verse number 32, the Bible says this, and I, Jesus speaking, after the Gentiles came and after the Lord Jesus speaks of his work among the Gentile people, and he speaks of the cross and defeating the devil and offering salvation to all, he says in verse 32, contextually here, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, speaking of his death, will draw all men unto me. This he said, Jesus said, signifying what death he should die. The death of the Lord Jesus. When we think of the death of Christ, we think, first of all, that it was a selfless death. Let me give you some scripture. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Would you turn there? John chapter 10 and verse 15. I'm going to grab some water here. After three sermons, my voice is running out. John chapter 10, verse number 15. The Bible says of the Father, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Look at this. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The selfless death of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The death of the Lord Jesus was a selfless death, but also it was a substitutionary death.
Thank you for joining us for this morning's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. For more information about the ministries of our church and how we can be a blessing to you, check out our church website at kitchenerbaptist.org. Our radio program is available because of the faithful prayers and financial support of listeners just like you. You can support our ministry by sending a financial gift to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. That is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. You can also e-transfer your support to give at kitchenerbaptist.org. To learn more about our ministry, visit our website at timelesstruthsradio.com. Do you know the Jesus we talked about in this program? You can have abundant life through Jesus Christ right now. Just say yes to Jesus today. Fully trust in Him. Learn more about the Jesus of the Bible and how you can have eternal life. Check out our video at kitchenerhope.com. Once again, thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. From Pastor Burns and the Kitchener Baptist Church, have a wonderful day. Join us next week when we open our Bibles and learn more from God's timeless truths.